Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this new year. As we journey on in this new year, may you give us insight, give us a fresh mind, wisdom that comes from your spirit. May you use Sunday school as a tool to draw us closer to you, and may this morning be a time where we can listen and hear from your prophet. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word in peace and as a body. Pray all this in your name. Amen. Okay, so background. This, you know, we go back between Assyria and Babylonia. So all these prophets, even if you didn't know the background, you can assume that they're either under the domination of Assyria or Babylonia, Babylon. This is Zephaniah is the prophet right between the handoff between Assyria into Babylon dominance.
It's, you have like balloons coming.
Balloons? Where?
On your screen.
I have balloons on my screen?
I don't know.
Oh, these?
No. On your Zoom square?
On my Zoom square?
There was like balloons going up a ton.
There is?
Move your hand. I think it's
like
it's
already
sitting. Oh, that's cool.
I don't know how. No,
it's too.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I have not seen balloons.
Never mind. Sorry about that.
Do you have
thumbs up fast? Thumbs
up? No, he doesn't do that.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. See, look.
Oh,
something was happening when you
wow. It's weird. How is that happening? It's online.
It's a new.
It's a new thing, I guess. Okay. High five.
Anyways,
good job. That is so weird. Wow, that's AI at work. Okay. Let me know what else. What other icons come up? So it's between Assyria and Babylon. It's during the reign of Josiah. Not his death, it's before. In fact, they don't know for sure, but it could be when Zephaniah could have been a teacher training Josiah as king. Because King Josiah, when he became king, was 8 years old. Imagine. And he's like the last emperor type of thing where he's a kid. He doesn't know any better. It was very possible that Zephaniah was Josiah's teacher, training him, say, hey, don't be like the past kings, right? This also deals with Josiah's grandfather, King Manasseh. We never talk about, you know, when we say, when I study this, I'm like, oh, his grandfather. No, it's easier for me to understand rather than previous kings, because it's all his father is Amon, A-M-O-N, which only reigned for like 2 years. His grandfather, King Manasseh, was considered the most evil king ever. So considering where his lineage came from, he's doing great. And Zephaniah is the prophet who's like, I am going to teach you and train you up in the right way because I know what your grandfather did. And we'll get into that a little bit more. It's very interesting. So Zephaniah is writing during, again, Assyria is dominating. They're worshiping idols. It is corrupt still. There's internal turmoil. There's all kinds of stuff going on, except for the fact that King Josiah is a good king, which is nice, right? Things are going in the right direction. he himself, the prophet Zephaniah, could have been part of the royal line. No one knew, but this is what I gathered from the research and also from the commentaries. He's concerned the most. He was concerned about religious purity. So the other prophets, I don't know if you remember, we were talking about, he was, a lot of prophets were concerned about oppression, the poor, justice. Zephaniah was different in the fact that he really focused on religious purity, worshiping Yahweh and not idols. And he goes into, that's his main focus. Wasn't that he didn't care about the poor. His job was to bring judgment upon Judah on their idol worshiping. And I talked about he was probably involved with Josiah's chain. Again, nothing proven. And like all the other prophets, his message usually is pretty harsh, right? God will destroy you. Right? I don't know if anyone says that these days, but that certainly wouldn't be a popular message. God will destroy Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, and all mankind. He goes into, so he starts with Judah, and then he goes into all the nation. However, there will be a portion of us who will be saved. That's his main message. That's his, like, that's his theology. Stop me anytime you have a thought or you connect the dots with other prophets or events today. Please do. We don't agree or just say, hey, this doesn't sound right. Here's the structure of the book, only 3 chapters. If you're going to read it, judgment, and some hope at the end. Judgment to Judah, Israel, judgment of the nations, and then what will happen after the judgment. So he starts with Judah. Remember we talked about, I just said that he's really concerned with religious purity. What's happening at this time with the kings, especially King Manasseh, and all the leaders and all the priests of Judah at that time, they were talking about Baal, and that's how he begins. And I have I'll begin with this. Right? Zephaniah 1:4, he goes right into it. He said, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all inhabitants of Jerusalem. And when he says Jerusalem, that's the capital. That means the leaders. That's why he always mentions Jerusalem. When the prophets mention Jerusalem, they're saying, it's almost like Washington, D.C., right? We understand that, oh, that's where all the politicians are, right? It's not actually just the place. So when he says Jerusalem, he's saying all the politicians, all the kings, a royalty of Judah. I will cut off from this place the remnant of Baal. And we all know Baal. I know Baal. You know Baal. Everyone thinks about it. I mean, I've heard this. And I just said, I'm going to look into who Baal is. I don't know if you guys have. But this is you see a picture on the bottom in the center? That's a picture, an old picture, I think in the 18th century. That's the picture signifying Baal. And you see some of the pictures, they look similar, right? Baal is Satan. That's a picture of demonic. This is a picture of the Church of Satan in America. Do you know that? There's a church of Satan. You guys can look it up. Don't quote my word. There's a website, this Church of Satan. I mean, these Satan worshipers, it's real. They're not huge, but it's real. You see how there's a boy and a girl. They're children. There's something, he's holding an infant. See that? So strange. And do you guys know what this picture is? On the top right, for the, you guys, it's just, again, I'm just presenting what I see as I'm studying. This is a picture recently during Christmas, Church of Satan put up in the capital of Iowa, in the lobby of capital of Iowa, because religious freedom, right? You want to do Christmas? I want to put a picture of Baal. They look similar. They look similar. This is from way different drawings. And I know, it's crazy, right? That's a real picture in the capital of Iowa. You Google it. Pretty crazy stuff. But you can imagine that if we do that now, I think it was no different back in Judah. Christian nation, I guess. They know God directly, but yet Prophet Zephaniah was furious because you know Yahweh. It's not like you're atheists. You know Yahweh, but yet you are erecting shrines for Satan. That's how bad it was. It's not even backsliding as a believer of Yahweh. Like, I don't feel like reading the Torah today. I don't feel like serving today. It's not even that. It's like, I'm going to build and worship Satan, demons, in my country, or as a leader. When you look at that, it's jaw-dropping, right? I'm going to build an idol and worship Satan. So who is Baal? Why was God so mad? God wasn't mad at them because they're impatient, or sometimes they're lazy, or sometimes they're not worshiping him the right way. He was furious because they were worshiping Satan, right? And so I said, well, what did Baal teach? And why are these pictures so similar? And number one, it was child sacrifice. Something associated with demonic worship all throughout the ages, even until now. Something to do with children. They're always, Satan and his minions are always after the children. How do we know that? We know that because even in today's society, strange things happen. You know, we hear about this kind of stuff, but we also know it from the Bible. King Manasseh, well documented. This is why King Manasseh was considered, which is Josiah's grandfather, considered the most evil king in Israel. Because he sacrificed his own son to Baal. I didn't write it down. I was going to. When you guys go to 2 Kings 16:3, when you guys are 2 Kings 21:6, just to make sure that I have those verses right. And when we get there, can you read that?
Second Kings 16:3. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel. He even burned his son as an offering, according to the despicable practices of the nations, whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel.
21:6.
And he burned his son as an offering, and used fortune telling and omens, and dealt with mediums and with necromancers.
Necromancers. Yeah, those are.
What is that? He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger.
Something to do with the dead. Necromancers, if you guys look into that. a lot of crazy stuff. It's very fascinating. But if you don't want to study that, that's okay. But necromancers kind of, you know, they're dealing with the dead, playing around with the dead. So Manasseh burned his own son. He set an example, and he wasn't the only one. As a nation, this was going on. As nations outside of Israel, Assyria, that was going on. Child sacrifice was a very well-known practice. They do that because they can receive they can appease the gods. They can receive goodness and blessing. And one of the things is he's actually a god of fertility, right? When you do that, you get back. You sacrifice someone else's, right? This is a very sick way of understanding how you can receive blessing. But see, as I thought about it, we understand Satan to always, whatever he does is always a counterfeit to God. Jesus was sacrificed, though, for us, so that we can receive a blood. It's the same concept. But his enemy, Satan, doesn't say it's just a counterfeit. But this is what's going on. King Manasseh did it. And this is the people of God doing it. It wasn't even Assyrians. It's the people of God. And that's why Zephaniah was so, why these prophets, not just Zephaniah, was so angry at the people of God. Because of this is what they're doing. And you saw that picture. You know, there's a reason why they're holding babies. There's a reason why there's kids there. I don't know enough about it, so I'm not going to talk. But that is definitely there's an idea around Satan and kids. There's an idea around that. Idol worshipers, right? We know that. Okay, they're just bowing down to these idols, burning incense. Okay, we know that. Divination and cult practices. That's going on with Manasseh, with King Manasseh within Judah, in Jerusalem. Right? Temple prostitution, that's not new either. So a whole bunch of stuff is going on. I don't know how it relates to today, but these things probably may be done under the radar that we don't know about. But the works of the enemy is still present. And this, I think, is, there are degrees of sin, right? I mean, this is something that God really abhors. This is out there. But this is happening in broad daylight during the times of King Manasseh in Judah. So here's what Zephaniah says. Right after, it was 1:4, all right? Two verses later, here's what the prophet says. He says, those who have turned back from following the Lord, those of you who worship Baal, who do not seek the Lord or inquire of him. That's, he's beginning his judgment. He says, those of you who have turned back, you do not seek or ask of anything of him now. What about this that would lead someone to, I guess I'm trying to form a question that I probably should have written down, but what happens when someone is not seeking or inquiring? What kind of person is this? I think it's good for us to ask because it helps us to understand to stay away from to take inventory of ourselves. And Zephaniah is saying, this is what I'm talking about. That he ends that first paragraph with this.
I guess if you're not seeking the Lord, then you're seeking something else, someone else.
Yeah.
He's no longer the Lord, I guess. Something else, or yourself, or an idol, or something else has
yeah.
taken the place of that Lordship.
Yeah, and if I am honest with myself, I still do that. There are times where I seek other things. I don't know if you guys do. It's good. I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but there's a finality to this. You know, is there a difference between like, oh, there's sometimes, oh, I'm just like, during vacation, I totally forgot about God. I'm just having fun, you know? I got to get back into it. Is there a difference from that? Or when I'm working really hard and there's a season where I'm just too busy? And is there a difference from that and this? Because Zephaniah has some crazy judgment that goes with people like this. We're gonna go into it.
So this, there's a active turning back away from the Lord, right? Rather than just like, oh, I got lazy today, but there's an active turning away from.
Yeah. I was sitting on this verse. I'm like, okay, yeah, that happens. Gosh, I don't want that kind of judgment to come upon me. I better study the Word of God every second of the day because that I don't. Right? So I was looking at this and looking at this. There is an active, like, I am not going to seek Him anymore. There's not even a struggle, right? I am not going to ask God anymore. And then I got to a point where, oh, God, you're very gracious. Because in my daily life, this happens on and off. But the prophet is saying, it's when you don't ask. When throughout the day, even when you're lazy, you don't even bother asking. You're done. You're not even having a conversation at all. And that's a scary place to be. And the prophets are really speaking to this, to King Manasseh and all the kings. Like, you're not even asking anymore. That's fine. I get it. You're king. You're very powerful. You're very smart. You're doing things on your own. Okay? But usually, king, because they know Yahweh, like, oh, Lord, what do? I'm going to a war. I'm scared. I need your help. These kings aren't even doing that. They're just like, I'm not even asking God. I'm not even seeking the Lord. I'm worshiping Satan. That's night and day. So because you do this, Zephaniah is saying, I'm proclaiming judgment on the last days. Right, he says it. We're still in chapter 1. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. And when the prophet is saying this, he's judging them at that time. He's prophesying in the immediate future, but he's also prophesying in the far into the future, even past us, right? Because the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord is known as the return of Jesus, second time, judgment time. And that's a day, that's always, whenever you see the day of the Lord, it is a bitter time. It is a time of judgment. Those are during tribulation time. So Zephaniah, I don't think, understood this, but he was just prophesying to them at that immediate time, and also to the last, I put the last days, meaning that we're probably close to the last of the last days. This keeps coming up, not because I want to bring it up, but because it's minor prophet. It's just, it's really telling us we're close. And that's what the prophets are telling us. Let's see. The day of the Lord, according to some, is right before the rapture, during the rapture of the church, people, or to others, day of the Lord could be at the midpoint of our tribulation, where the Antichrist comes. And no one knows for sure. That's why there's different scholars that point to different things. You may have your own belief. Do you guys have? What do you believe? Do you believe that we will be in that tribulation time as saints, or we'll be like raptured?
Hopefully
raptured, right?
Yes.
You don't want to be at that time, right? Because even the mighty men, right? We're not mighty men here. As much as we want to think we're mighty men, they're talking about strong, mentally, spiritually, physically, mindfully. Those days, those mighty men will be crying. Hopefully raptured. Yeah, you're hopefully raptured. Oh boy. Zeph and I will speak to that later too. Right, 2 Peter 3:10. Bob, can you read that?
But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed.
Yeah, but the day of the Lord, same thing, the day of the Lord. This is in the New Testament, right? The day of the Lord come like a thief. And it's just talking about where the world will be in upheaval. This earth itself, or in the last of the last days. I don't know when that's going to come, but we're in the last of the last days. It's closing in. I really feel that the prophet is speaking to not just King Josiah and King Manasseh's time. The prophet is speaking to our time as well. And in fact, to all generations, but really to our generation right now.
Is there a reason why Lord and Zephaniah, it's all caps, and then the Lord and Second Peter?
Oh, no, I didn't. I just copied and pasted from Digital Bible.
Oh.
Yeah. But usually when it's capped in the Old Testament, it's Yahweh. And then, but they're speaking to God, the Father, the day of the Lord. Yeah, it's any thoughts? Well, this we heard this before. I don't want to think about the last days.
That second fear was, I remember when I was like a kid.
Yeah.
That used to scare me.
It still scares me. Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yes, it scared
like,
me. Yeah.
It just burns away. You know, this is like a really weird example, but like, you know, like my family, we like all sorts of animals, even like bugs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
We used to like, when I was little, I used to like, and I taught my kids this, of course, that you like open up a rock and then you see all these like little things.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I used to like, I don't know why I would think of that, right? Like they're all hidden under the rock.
Right.
Under the dirt, like in there. And
right.
Then you like peel it open.
Yeah.
And then they're all like,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Like I kind of feel
you
like,
definitely
like,
think of. Oh, that's right.
You're covering your roof, everything
yes.
just gets burned up. You know, it's
yes.
just gone. And then you're just like exposed into the light.
Right.
Like, oh crap.
That's a great
yeah, I don't know. I was thinking
picture. No, that's exactly. We're like little bugs, right? And then they just scatter too.
Yeah,
they start moving.
Way.
All of them start
yeah.
moving, running to the mountains.
Or,
that's exactly the Bible.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
you will not
like,
be able to hide.
You have nothing over your head.
You have nothing.
Even the heavens are burned up, you know? So that's, yeah, it's kind of a crazy.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what that looks like with the heavens.
So, yeah. So Zephaniah is saying, this is what's going to happen to you, Judah. And he's really thinking, in his mind, he's thinking that Babylonia is going to come, do this to you. And Babylonia does. But that's really not the day of the Lord as we know it now. The day of the Lord when Jesus comes, second time. It's going to be way worse than what the Babylonians did to the Jews, or to the nation of Israel. When I say Judah, it's southern Israel, because Israel, northern Israel, by this time is gone, right? Assyria took them. These guys are under the control of Assyria. Yeah, like bugs, scattering. Wow, look at them! Zephaniah has a solution, but he is saying this is what it's going to feel like if you turn your back away from Yahweh, which you have, you're worshiping Satan. And he keeps going, right? This is what's going to look like. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. I don't know how many times he has to repeat himself. He's just, it's going to be really, 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 really bad. No one wants to be a prophet. In 18, neither their silver nor their God shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of his jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed for full and sudden end. He will make all of the inhabitants of the earth. So now he's extending he's not just talking about Judah, he's talking about all the inhabitants of the earth, right? So this obviously didn't happen. in Zephaniah's time, it happened to them because Babylonia conquered them. But this word still extends to today because it didn't happen to all inhabitants of the earth. It will happen when the day of the Lord, Jesus, comes back again. And it's not fun to think about it, but I think there is grace and mercy in thinking about that, and knowing that we need to stay. We're not perfect, but if we stay in Jesus, right? If we stay in Jesus, we can trust that He will protect us. And literally, just as a bug, just the simplest protection. Okay, we're not even talking about, you know, oh, I'm so close to the Lord where I'm like Moses on top of the mountain, I can see Him, right? Smoke coming up, I'm just, no, just staying in Jesus. That's what Zephaniah is saying, right? Just staying in Jesus during these last days. And there's protection, there's grace, and there's mercy, the redemption in Jesus. So it is scary, but the knowing this, really look into this, you realize how much better it is to be in Jesus, and how comforting it is to have Jesus. This is just my mind as I'm going through. I'm just sharing with you guys, not really teaching. I'm just sharing as I'm reading this. This is what's going on, and I wonder what's going on. How about you guys? What's that bring comfort? I'm still kind of like, I don't know if I want to be here.
I think this is great. And especially I have friends that believe into weaker nations.
Oh, yeah.
That you just keep on going.
Yeah.
It's like a circle.
Right.
Where you're telling you that everything will be destroyed.
No, you can't come back. Why do you want to come back? Right. Yeah.
Something you said earlier that caught my attention. And I was thinking about it. You said children, you know, some. What's the importance of children? Is that something that you're going to bring up later, or?
I was talking about how King Manasseh, which is King Josiah's grandfather, he worshipped Baal,
right?
And Baal was really a form of evil and
after
demonic, insane, right? And then during those. There was a lot of child sacrifices at that time. When you worship Satan, he demands
the children.
The children. There's something, there's association there from old practices, ancient practices, and even now. I don't know why.
Is there significance to that? Why?
There's a lot of significance to that.
Important.
Yeah. I haven't. There's actually a class in seminary called demonology. Okay. I haven't spent a lot of time in it, but there is studies on demonology. Just studying who this person is, Lucifer. And the association with Lucifer and how he wants children, right? Is a big deal because he began hunting for the Messiah. And that's the word. Ever since he knew that God, Yahweh, provided the seed of a woman, ever since then, for 5,000 years, been on the hunt for the Messiah. That's why he wanted to kill Jesus.
Okay. I had a different thought.
It's fascinating how that
because
plays out.
Jesus also
yeah.
values little children also.
Yeah. And we do too, humans do too.
Because
but,
they're the future of our generation, right? And, you know, if you grab the children, I think the children are so valuable because, hey, if you, you know, this is, you know, the continuation of future generations, right? So if I am able to lead my children in a certain way, right, then I'm kind of, I'm doing my part to kind of push my agenda, right? What, that sounds so bad, but like push a, you know, a cause, right? So that future generation, so that this whatever cause can continue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was my thought, was just totally off.
No, that's...
I was thinking like, why are the children so valuable? Like, what is God and Satan value children? So that's why I kind of thought on that path. Like, it's the continuation of it. It's the spreading of the gospel or whatever, you know, ulterior agenda that Satan has, right? So that's why the children are so valuable. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, that's why the agenda to go into schools, right, to start there.
That's the opposite of what God's blessing, because God told Abraham to bless all your generations, and your generation will be as thick as the skies, the stars, the sands, and children is like the future and the blessing from God.
Right, that's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Mm,
the future.
And he's trying to
cut it off.
Yeah.
It's always been that.
Really
yeah.
Good way. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And not just that. He's trying to cut off.
Yeah.
He's trying to cut off Israelites, children, from ever, because that's Abraham's blessing. Yeah. That's always been the agenda. He missed the Messiah. He thought he won. Now he's going after the nation and the church. Right, we'll kind of graft it in. So there's a lot of commentators kind of piece all that together, right? How children is very symbolic of what the enemy is trying to do. And to know how important that is, and for God to see that my own people, I do everything to protect you. My own people, right, is worshiping and I don't even want to say idol, because idol sounds so neutral and so weak, is worshiping Satan, who wants to kill and destroy my children. And God is like, I need to stop. This is judgment, right? Yeah, you see how this was not a small matter, worshiping idols, because that is a direct correlation to worshiping the enemy, Satan, and his demons, because those are demonic spirits that they're worshiping. It wasn't a harmless idol. And I think that's, yeah, thanks, Mabel, for good question and good follow up on that. Yeah, there's a significance to Abraham's generation, Abraham's descendants. So, any thoughts? Anything else? I'll leave the good news for next week, maybe. Because the good news is very good. There's very there's a lot of things that we can discuss and find encouragement and hope in. But this is the state of Israel at this time, as Zephaniah has, and this is the state of our society too that we live in. Right? State is done differently. But this is the state of our our world. And one day Jesus will come back to make it right.
I think it's a good warning and just reminder for me, you know, personally, or even as a parent, you know, and just think about like how does somebody end up in that state of turning away from God, right? You
Yeah.
know, your first question, like how do you get there? Who is somebody who turns away, right? And I think like for some of us, like for myself, I kind of feel like I'm never gonna be one of those people. You know, I mean, I love being in the Lord, you know, like I feel great, like walking with him, and it's very comforting, and I find so much, you know, joy in that, right? But like, I think we can never be too kind of just like words, but like, we have to be on guard, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, if once you taste the goodness of God, like you'll never leave him, which is true. Like, but if you think about the Israelites, they've gotten so many blessings, you know. And I was also thinking of like somebody like Solomon, you know, who, if you want to see who has tasted God's goodness and gotten the most
Come on, that's not fair.
blessings from
That's what I'm going to say to God. That's not fair,
I
right?
know, but you know, in the last
Yeah.
days of his life, it says his wives and concubines and you know turned his heart away. He worshipped other God. You know, he allowed that into his life by association. You know, like even someone who experienced God's fullness, like sometimes that happens, and that's a little bit like kind of
Right.
scary to think about, right? Like you still have to continue to be careful how
Yeah.
you walk, like who you are surrounded by.
Yeah, you thank you for sharing that. You explained it much better than I did. That's what I was thinking about here. Before we even, yeah, before we judge King Manasseh, right? How does someone get there? I was reminded, like, I could easily get be there. I think any person. Cindy, you won't. That I know, no. But so I say that in jest, but I kind of believe it. But when I think about just humans, right? Just how we are, if we are not careful, any of us can get there. Right? We don't know. Yeah, King Solomon. Israelites, I think Israelites seeing a lot more miracles in the goodness of God, like tangibly. Miracles. I'm talking about fire from heaven, right? When, you know, when the seas parted. They saw that, but yet this is the kings and the leaders did this. So it is a good reminder that stay close.
Solomon started off so well, so exceptionally well.
Oh, God anointed him.
Because,
Yeah.
you know, God asked him, "Hey, what do you want?" Right? And he said, "I want wisdom, right? Over worldly things." And I was like, man, right? But then I think at the end of it, it's like such a turn.
Yeah, God said, I'll give you wisdom and everything too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
he that ship sailed, right? Like that's Solomon right here. Like
Well, we don't know.
we don't know.
Oh,
Yeah, I
no.
mean,
I think it's clear. I guess maybe it's not clear. There are people who, but you know, when I
That's another discussion.
That's another discussion, but I believe he is God's chosen.
He's despite,
huh?
Despite.
Despite.
Oh.
What happened? That's part of the covenant of God. So.
Well, they have to have Solomon's. That all people think that is the wisest man on earth and the richest man on earth, but he failed and he is twice. And Christ the only one that can save us.
Christ saves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once he saves, yeah. We may not have the wisdom or the riches or the fame of Solomon, but we're probably just as worse as Solomon. In our minds. But yet he saves us. Jesus still saves us. That's the power of the blood.
So as long as Solomon put his trust in God, despite how his life ended, like
depending on what you say, I mean I studied Ecclesiastes, and Solomon does say, what does he say at the very end?
I remember.
Like vanity or something.
Life is vanity, right? Life means nothing. No, he says something else. What does he say? Yeah, life is vanity. I had it all, and it means nothing.
Oh.
Right? What does he say at the very end? Verse 13, 12. Chapter 12, verse 13. This is what he says. Of all his wisdom, he says the end of the matter. He says the end. All has been heard. I told you everything. I told you everything I know. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This man belongs to God. Because God, no matter how unfair we think it is, God chose him. Sovereignty of God. This is another whole theological discussion, right? Because a lot of people say, but God will bring every deed into judgment, every secret thing, whether good or evil. Fear God and keep his command. That's a whole duty, man. Fear God. Meaning that I want to go to you, God. Not perfect. And Solomon knew he was not. I'm not perfect. I just want to be with you at the end. That's all I know at the end. Is fear God, keep his commandments. And the only person who did it is Jesus. He feared God and kept all his commandments, not us. That's why we trust Jesus. So I guess if you want a refresher of this is the end, this is all you have to do is trust in Jesus. That's essentially what Solomon was saying. Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. We'll get to the good part next week. Okay. Let's pray. God, thank you for this reminder. We know that this judgment is harsh upon those who upon us sinners and upon this earth who have refused to seek you, inquire of you. May we humble ourselves and help, and that your spirit would help us to fear you and to run to you in all situations, to continue to trust you. Your spirit stir us up so that we may continue to keep that faith. And also give us the urgency to tell others about Jesus. For in that day, We will be like bugs. We will not know where to hide, except under the shadow of your wings. May you bring more and more people to us and bring us to others who don't know about Jesus. And share the good news so that they may be saved in those last days as well. We thank you. We lift up the rest of the worship service into your hands. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Thank you.